Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:04 Irish Summer Time. Today is September 19th. And of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture, long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But let's first have a look at what's been happening this week. And golly, it's been a tumultuous week. It's a good thing that every week isn't like this one, or we'd be burning out a lot earlier in our careers. Because the beginning of this week was characterized by some of the worst despair that anyone can probably remember in their lifetimes regarding markets. And the end of the week, yesterday and today, has been characterized by that despair giving way to cautious optimism about the markets, as we have seen a number of interventions by central banks adding masses of liquidity, and the banning of short sales in financial companies in the US, the UK and Ireland, among others, I presume. I'm not entirely sure about that. And we have also seen that resources shares have bounced really rather significantly. On the FTSE 350 today, the resources were the second biggest mover behind banks. Of course, banks had a massive move, up nearly 39%, because of that closing of the short interest market in the UK until January 16th. So that is adding a powerful tailwind in the form of short covering to the UK market, which is likely to continue into next week. We had a massive upward dynamic where we saw the FTSE 100 up over 8% today and almost to 10% at one point. So this is a rather spectacular move, and we saw a large number of other markets in Europe up in excess of 8%, which is really a startling upward dynamic and certainly something to shake the bears out of their complacency. What it means is that we have seen markets find a low of at least near-term significance. Whether this is the low in capital letters for the entire bear market has yet to be seen. There are a number of other positive developments which would need to happen before we can draw that conclusion. Among those would be, first, that the overhang of bad debts in the banking sector will need to come to some form of resolution, because the bear sentiment that has developed over the last 18 months has been fueled by increasing write-downs and the prospect of more write-downs this year and into next year. So this weekend is likely to be pivotal, because the Fed and the Treasury, along with the Democrats and the Republicans, are going to sit down this weekend and try to iron out a pact whereby they can set up a new institution a la what happened with the savings and loans back in the late 80s and early 90s, and attempt to lift these bad debts off the balance sheets of the financial sector. That would be a positive outcome, and while it will certainly be a burden on the taxpayer, it is likely to be far less a burden than either letting those financial institutions go and the damage that would do to the wider economy, or in fact the amount of damage that would be done if these debts were allowed to compound. So it's the right course of action, and we're likely to see that type of resolution coming through sometime next week, and probably go before the houses sometime the week after that. They're likely to move very, very quickly on this. But what we have at the moment is a fantastic short covering rally, at least for those who are thinking of going long at this juncture. And what we are seeing is that a number of these markets, which had broken below those July lows, have now rallied back above those levels really rather significantly, so they're looking like failed downside breaks. A rule of thumb from the chart seminar is that with failed downside breaks, if the dynamic that brings it back into the range is larger than the one that broke it out of the range, there's a very good chance you're going to go back up and test the other side of that range, which means that we're going to see there's a strong likelihood, there's no certainties in this business, there's a strong likelihood we're going to see those markets that have failed downside breaks moving up and at least testing the opposite side of their ranges. What we also see as A large positive is something that we haven't seen for a long time, and that is that bank shares are starting to lead on the upside. And that is a very positive factor because with the bank shares leading, and it was obviously the bank shares that were the epicenter of where risk had been centered and where the fears for the economy were. With bank shares starting to outperform, that is an enormous positive for markets because they're certainly not going to rally in any kind of sustainable manner without taking the financial sector with them. So that is a positive, and in comment of the day today, you'll see that I posted lots of relative charts, and you'll see that the vast majority of the Western world, including as well as Japan and India and a couple of other markets, have banking shares that are outperforming on the upside, so that is a big positive. But let's take a step back and look at how recent events are likely to impact the long-term fuller money themes. One of our most profitable calls over the last 5 years has been the secular bull market in commodities. And the reasons behind that are supply inelasticity meets rising demand. You continue to have supply inelasticity because the infrastructure bottlenecks that fueled the commodity bull market over the last 5 years have yet to be worked through. There is a certain amount of more supply in the market in terms of some of these industrial metals, and we've seen industrial metals pulling back rather significantly over the last 18 months, although that's probably not the case for copper, which has been relatively strong among the industrial metals. But among bulk commodities, such as iron ore and coal, there remain massive infrastructure bottlenecks, and those are unlikely to be worked through in the next months or even years. It will take quite a long time for that to happen. And demand remains robust. Now, we have enjoyed over the last 3 years a period where we've had a synchronized period of global economic expansion, and that has been a great bonus for the commodity market. Over the last 6 months, that synchronized global economic expansion has given way to fears that we're entering a global recession. I believe that that is relatively unlikely at this point. While the domestic economy in the US is certainly in recession, and large parts of the US economy are in recession, it is still technically an economy that is growing, at least at the moment. And the Chinese economy is still growing at in excess of 10%, although that is likely to slow. But what we also know for a fact is that there are massive infrastructure ambitions and plans in the pipeline. The US has got a major infrastructure project probably in the near future, where highways and water and electricity infrastructure needs to be replaced. Something similar in in Europe. But China has got hundreds of billions allocated for building new roads, new sewage, new telephone lines, and electricity cables over the coming years. There will be a massive injection of liquidity and money, quite concrete money as opposed to the rather opaque definition of liquidity. But they will be spending an incredible amount of money to rebuild Sichuan because it will probably become a paragon for them to be able to say that they have been able to rebuild this area, and they will be using first-class building methods this time around because they don't want to have to say that they've lost hundreds more children the next time they have an earthquake, because of course it is an earthquake-prone zone. India is really only starting to get its infrastructure off the ground, and it has been very slow to get there, and it is still slow. But there will be billions spent on infrastructure in India over the coming years, and they are slowly getting around to the idea that they need to attract a lot more inward investment. They are still only receiving a fraction of the investment that China receives every year. So the demand side of the commodity cycle is still very much intact. Yes, we will have a slowdown in the global economy, but the emerging economies of the world still have massive young populations that need to be catered for in the future, and they need to start building the infrastructure they're going to need now to cater for those massive populations as we go forward. Because, for example, in India and a number of the countries in the Middle East, they have huge young populations under the age of 20 who are rapidly entering the workforce and who have been in need of education and continue to be in need of education, but also in need of jobs and housing and starting their own families. And that infrastructure needs to be built right away. So demand for interest of for commodities is still there. What we have had in the last 6 months, and particularly in the last 3 months, is that commodity shares have sold off very aggressively. There were a number of reasons for this. One was that commodities were the best performing sector this year and held out far longer than any other sector. So they became a one-way bet for a lot of investors. They were a safe haven, and it was deemed that commodities were going to be able to survive this correction for wider stock markets. And commodity-related shares have since pulled back aggressively. We've also seen that a number of hedge funds, which had taken bets by buying smaller commodity companies and buying large shares in companies, they were rather exposed to a correction, and they've been punished by the market for holding those long positions throughout this correction. But what we are now seeing is that people are starting to look around and say, well, markets have fallen an awful lot, and bearishness is at an all-time high, and volatility is remarkably high. And of course, the VIX index is measured by the short interest on the in the options markets. So that is an indication that we are the peak in the VIX index is an indication that we have come to at least a near-term low for the markets. We've been saying, almost as a mantra for the last 5 years, that resources are best bought following corrections, and this is definitely a correction. I'm certainly not advocating putting all of your money into commodities right now, or commodity-related shares. I should be more specific. But for anyone interested in increasing that portion of their portfolio and have cash in the sidelines, this is probably as good a time as you're going to get to buy some of these shares at extremely low levels. What we can continue to look at in the commodity sector is that they continue to have a very healthy margin, and it's one of the few industries where they can increase their margins. We are also likely to see an increased pace of acquisitions going on in the current environment. It's very simple. While as investors for the short to medium term are panicking out of commodity-related instruments, those SWFs or sovereign wealth funds who are looking for commodity acquisitions are probably looking at a lot of what they wanted to buy 6 months ago, having been too expensive, has now some of that stuff has fallen 50%, and some of it even more. And the stage is ripe for acquisitions in this sector. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the pace of acquisitions increase over the coming months. The other big call that we've had is that we are in a new long-term inflationary environment. And that view has been challenged somewhat over the last week because we've seen yields on the 10-year and the 30-year coming back to those 2003 lows. Since then, we've seen government bond prices. They were down 4 full points on the 30-year today. It was at 122 2 days ago. It's at 117.23 right now. Massive moves on government bond prices. And we even saw that the 3-month US bill was at a negative yield during the week. That means that investors were paying the government to take their money, as in are paying the government to lend them their money, which is frankly a ridiculous situation, but was indicative of just how strong the fear factor was in the markets this week. We have seen yields pulling back up, and with the easing of pressure in the corporate bond market, there will be a greater appetite for risk. There are a lot of bargains out there, and people who remember the savings and loan crisis nearly 20 years ago will remember that when the agency was set up, there were a lot of investors who were able to go in and pick up relatively good credits at ridiculously cheap prices and profited very, very well out of the situation. And with the way the market is at the moment, and the fact that we do see the US government becoming involved and talking about insuring money market funds and taking bad debts away from the banking sector, that will provide a very good opportunity for people with access to some of those distressed credits. That will also help to drain liquidity away from government bond prices, and particularly on the short end of the curve. In other words, we will see a flow of capital away from safe haven assets and towards risky assets. That is certainly helping to fuel the rally in stock markets, and it will also help to fuel a rally in some of the distressed credits. But it will also result in government bond prices coming back from the highs that we saw this week. We haven't seen government bond prices at this level since January, and January was a peak for the government bond prices, and yields have come back towards those 2003 lows. What we can say is that we are in a long-term inflationary environment, but we've just gone through a very big period where inflation really hit the headlines. And inflation isn't going to go up all the time, and it will become more of a problem and less of a problem. And right now, inflation is less of a problem. With the amount of liquidity that has been pumped into markets, and of course, this isn't the first time, although it may be one of the biggest times that liquidity has been pumped into the markets, that liquidity is inflationary in the long term. It's a devaluation of the dollar over the long term and just about all fiat currencies. That is one of the reasons why gold had such an enormous run-up this week, because it has got that safe haven status in spades. The chances are that low at 750 is about as low as we're going to see gold in the next while, and I wouldn't want to put a time frame on that, but it's likely to remain extremely volatile, and we probably will have chances to pick it up, and it's probably best bought following weakness. But I personally don't think it's going to go back below 750 anytime soon. Of course, given the volatility, anything can happen in this market, but it is certainly looking quite positive in here right now that it has been able to hold on to that massive gain that we saw on Wednesday. But getting back to the long-term inflationary cycle, we have just gone through a period where inflation was massively important and where it started feeding through into people's wage expectations, and that was absolutely anathema to central banks, and they have been granted a sojourn there because oil has obviously pulled back rather significantly from the highs, and gold pulled back, all commodities pulled back rather significantly over the last 6 months, and they're unlikely to be able to get right back up to those highs that we saw this year for the rest of the year. And those inflationary fears are on the wane. Deflation is very much more what people are thinking about right now. And that means that the stage is now being set for the next spike in inflation. But that's not going to be this year or next. It's probably going to be some time after that. Deflation is the cause célèbre at the moment, and central banks are much more afraid of deflation than inflation because they feel that they can do something about inflation because they can squeeze the liquidity out of the system, they can raise interest rates, and as some would contend, they can manipulate the commodity markets and manufacture a correction, which is certainly what we've had over the last 6 months. They have far fewer weapons to combat deflation, so they combat deflation far more aggressively. And that will certainly set us up for the next inflationary spike. And the next time inflation spikes, it will probably coincide with another big spike in commodity prices. And those commodity prices are likely to go far higher than the recent highs. David has talked during the week about Back to the Future, because we're back at a point where commodity prices have come back to levels we haven't seen since 2005 and 2006. The fundamental story for buying commodities is still as valid today as it was then. The belief in that story is entirely different, because the pervasive fear of deflation that is evident in markets today is frightening people away from making investments in commodities. But we can see that, for example, Canada was up 7% today, while the S&P was up 4%, Brazil was up 9.5%, Russia was up 12%. We've seen commodity prices getting beaten down. We've seen the longs getting pressured, and shorts have had a field day. But those shorts are now starting to close their positions. And it's interesting because it's only in bank shares that you've had short covering, necessary short covering. That wasn't the case in commodity shares. Nobody told anyone that they couldn't short commodity shares, and yet they're bouncing significantly. It's also important because commodity currencies are also doing well. The Australian dollar is up 3 full cents today. And if I just pull up a couple of others, the Canadian dollar has, I'm not going to say what it's done because I can't see what the price is. But we can expect commodity currencies to perform quite strongly in this environment. The US dollar has rallied significantly over the last 6 or 7 weeks after it broke upwards from that 74 level on the dollar index, and it rallied all the way up to 80. We saw a peak for the dollar late last week and early this week, and while it remains remarkably volatile, I would personally be surprised if the dollar can sustain a rally back above that 80 level on the dollar index. And versus the commodity currencies, it is certainly getting weaker. Against the Asian currencies, it may be slower to come back down because so many of those Asian economies would welcome a weaker currency in the short term. So having got a weaker currency, they may wish to hang on to it. So it might be slower to move against some of those Asian currencies, but it is certainly moving against the commodity currencies. Canadian dollar was significantly stronger in here today, and the Australian dollar, the New Zealand dollar, and the Brazilian real had pushed up remarkably over the last couple of weeks, but it fell rather significantly today, having had a big tail yesterday. So commodity currencies strengthening, commodity stock markets strengthening, and gold and oil have definitely found support. I should mention oil because obviously oil was at the forefront of the inflationary fears as it got back up towards $150, but it found support at $90 earlier this week, and it pushed back above $100 in here today. It was up over $6 and at $104 towards the close. So oil has found support in the near term. It's unlikely to get back up to $150 anytime this year, but we are certainly going to see some of these shorts getting squeezed, and it is likely to find support above $90 when the short squeeze ends and range around for a rather significant period. And looking at some of the other commodities, well, the grain markets, food prices are the other big worry for those worried about inflation, and food prices remain at historically high levels. We've had remarkably bad weather earlier this year, and the corn crop is likely to be far less in the US than anyone is expecting. So that is a fundamental support for that market. Same with the soybean market. But that they are in medium-term corrections, and it will take a supply shock to start pushing these commodities back up towards their highs. Although that is the one area I wouldn't rule something like that happening over the next 6 months or so. The key time for those grains is going to be in January when we get the USDA reports about the crops. And let me think, was there anything else I wanted to talk about? So the dollar is getting weaker. Government bond prices are coming off. Yields are rising. Commodity prices are moving upwards. What we are also seeing is that banks are outperforming their wider stock markets. We have just gone through one of the most bearish phases where personally I was dreading turning on my screens in the morning. It's earlier this week. And I can empathize entirely with subscribers in the fact that we have had big drawdowns in our favorite themes. But these bearish phases are transient, and we are already starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And our favorite themes are still our favorite themes, and nothing has changed in the fundamental reasons behind that. We have gone through a phase when we have been challenged to stick with long positions, and it looks like we're going to be rewarded for staying with them over the next few weeks as some of those shorts get closed. But it is going to take time before markets can build some support and generate enough of support that they can fuel significant rallies on the upside, which will push these markets up to sustained new highs. That's going to take time. But we are in for a lot of ranging once this short covering rally ends, and it's going to be a very interesting few weeks where we are certainly being presented with good buying opportunities in a number of different areas in here right now. But with that in mind, it's going to be an interesting weekend for whatever announcement comes from the Treasury or the Fed. They're certainly keeping us on our toes. I hope you enjoy it. I'm hoping to go to the All-Ireland final if I can find a ticket from somewhere. My home county is playing in the Gaelic football finals here at home. And I hope to have a very enjoyable weekend. But thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy yours.